Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. This evening, I have Marvin Prather on the show. Marvin is an educator and an intervention coordinator. Hi, Marvin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kimmy.
Why don't you start off by introducing yourself and just telling kind of what you do in the school system, so people can get a better understanding of it.
Yes, my name is Marvin Prather. I am an educator, and I'm also a multi-tiered support coordinator. This is my seventh year of teaching. I love teaching kids, and I love inspiring them to be whatever they want to be in life. I also, on the side, I'm an interventionist, where I help provide support to kids that are struggling with reading deficits or math calculation or math reasoning deficits as well.
For people who may not know or may not understand, what are multi-tiered supports?
Multi-tiered supports are ways that we can support kids academically and behaviorally. Academics would be doing like small groups to help support reading and reading comprehension, or even writing or speech. Behavior-wise, we would do like behavior contracts, and we'll give them like a mystery motivator or a behavior intervention that supports their behavior and try to help support them so they'll be successful or come up to grade level.
Okay. So what happens, I guess, if, let's say, for example, we're looking at the beginning stages in early accountability, we're really looking at how to push forward or get organized in the beginning stages of an endeavor. So let's say we have a student in the school and a common one is going to be struggling with reading. What would that look like at the beginning stages?
A student that would be struggling with reading would struggle in all content areas, because reading is something that we do across the curriculum. Reading is a skill set that's needed for them to be successful in life. So if they have reading deficits, usually in the classroom, they start to act out because they really don't understand the materials that's presented to them. So as someone who's over RTI, you would find ways to support them with their reading deficits by doing small groups. Sometimes they're a part of the EIP. It's like an early intervention program where they pull them out into small groups from like 7 to 10 students and support their reading deficits. Sometimes it's with decoding, letter sound correspondence. They have issues with that, so they try to help support them so they can be successful in classroom.
What happens next if those interventions and supports aren't working?
If those interventions or supports are not working, usually the teacher meets with the parent and then they discuss or they problem solve and do a root cause analysis to determine what's the issue with the child. They usually look over like unit assessment data or benchmark data or maybe even statewide assessment data.
Okay.
And then they try to determine how they can support the kid. They'll do like computer-based intervention programs, like they have Success Maker, Achieve 3000, iExcel, or even Starfall for the lower grades.
Okay. And so they'll would go through those programs as well to try to get additional supports
to help the student come up to grade level.
Okay.
I also want to mention that once that happens, once you have that initial meeting, they'll become a tier two student where they may have some type of intervention that might be like 2 times a week. And then they're pulled with someone else, like usually a para support or another certified teacher, and they receive some instruction. Then they progress monitor their performance using maybe Dibbles or like Ames-Weld probes, which are assessments that we use to see how children are progressing while receiving that additional support from the teacher pulling them out 2 times a week. And if that doesn't work, then they'll move to like a tier three, and then they'll intensify the supports. Maybe it's like 3 or 5 times a week, depending on how low the child is.
Okay. So how long in general does this like process take? So if people wanted to understand, like, how long does this take?
Okay.
What does this usually look like? Because sometimes it can, I know in the school system, sometimes it can seem like forever, parents may say.
Yes, it can definitely be overwhelming. Usually when they're in tier two, it takes like 4 to 6 weeks. And then you'll have a meeting and you'll review the child's data. And then if their child is not making progress, we'll change the intervention, which would be another 4 to 6 weeks of data. So maybe like 2 to 3 months, depending on how quickly they can move through the process. And if they're not making any additional progress, this would be after that second parent conference, then they would have an additional meeting and move the child to tier three. Then they would intensify the supports that they're providing to the child, which would be like 3 to 5 times a week. And they'll chart the data again using the probes, the progress monitoring probes. They have to be consistent through the tier two and tier three process in order to see if progress is being made. Once that happens, then the child can have another meeting and then the team can decide the student support team, because the mom is a part of that student support team. And we have to see where the mom wants to go with the child moving through the process. After that, they're usually given a parental consent to evaluate. And then the school psychologist would do some testing and the counselor would do some testing. And maybe me as the MTSS coordinator, I would do some testing. And then we would put our information together. And then we would review it with the mom on the student support team. And then we could move the child to see if they needed any additional support, maybe special ed services, maybe a 504 plan.
What advice would you give to a parent who feels like, I had my child, I don't think they're reading like they should. I don't think their math skills are where they should. What questions or dialogue would you offer them to spark the conversation with the school if it hasn't already been done so?
I would tell them to have the conversation with the teacher first to see what they're doing inside the classroom to support the child's deficits and determine a plan of action to see how they can support the child and bring them close to grade level. Maybe they can talk to the parent liaison, if there is one at the school, and they can get resources for the school to support at home the child's progress, and maybe books or computer intervention tools, and use those at home to try to support the child moving forward or in closer to grade level, maybe.
Okay. Also, for the teachers, because I know you've been teaching for a while, I know in the school system, sometimes the teachers have a very hard time or can have a hard time. There are so many standards they have to meet, so many different children, lots of different behaviors. What advice would you give to like new teachers or teachers who are really struggling to meet some of the needs of children who might be a little bit lower and need extra supports, but they're just feeling pressed that they don't really have the time to give them that intensive support like they may need?
The first person I would go to would be the EIP team for the school. If you're at a K-5 school, I would go to the EIP team to see what type of supports, if they can probably get the child in the EIP services. And the next step, I would talk to your academic coach, if you have one, to see if they can provide you with strategies to meet kids that may have behavioral challenges in the classroom. And usually when a child has behavior challenges, it's probably that they can't do the work that you place in front of them. And they may have to scaffold and only give them 5 other problems instead of giving them the 10 problems that they give to the rest of the class.
What tools or techniques would you say for behavior problems? Are there any like certain things that people might do there? Are there certain things that the school and home you always like kind of suggest or recommend they do together and be in alignment on that? Because those can really prevent students from progressing forward.
Yes, I really like rewards. And then there also is a positive behavior systems of supports. It was like sometimes called, referred to as PBIS. If I would do some type of reward incentive in the classroom and come up with consistent classroom expectations. Usually when you have your procedures down in place and rituals and routines, you don't have many behavior challenges because you already set those expectations for your classroom.
Okay. So if a teacher is kind of feeling like they're maybe struggling with a lot of behaviors, you would say, again, like reach out to the kind of support teams, student support teams at your school,
Yes. Or the AP, the principal, or the academic coach. I would first go to the academic coach or the EIP team first before going to the AP or principal, because you don't want to feel like you're incompetent at work. I would first go to the people that are your colleagues,
right,
instead of going to your building administration.
Okay, so start kind of with your peers, with your job peers.
Your peers, your grade level first, academic coach, and maybe the EIP team to see if they can provide you with some strategies of how you can support the kids in the classroom.
So same thing, really just multi-tiered supports, just starting and intensifying as you go up. What kind of recommendations do you have for parents? I know sometimes you might have like a different teacher, and this year you're getting like a lot of phone calls. It's like the teacher's calling you every other day about your child's behavior. What kind of steps would you tell, like, for a parent who's going through that? Like, they don't see the behaviors at home. Like, I don't see this at home. You're calling me every other day. What kind of ways could they be accountable with helping their child perform better in the school and kind of strengthening that relationship between home and school?
To me, for a child that has behavior challenges and the teacher is constantly calling about the behavior challenges, I advise parents to do pop-ups. This is a visit at the school where you're not really trying to be seen, but you're observing your child's behavior. This is unannounced, but you do contact the teacher and tell them about that you're going to come up to the school. You're not coming inside the classroom. You're just observing on the outside, if that makes sense.
Okay. So the child is not aware.
Yeah, the child is not aware of the situation, but you're coming to observe the child's behavior to see if they're going to act out like the teacher keeps calling you about. I think you doing a pop-up visit, you coming up to the school and observing the child's behavior to see what they're doing in the classroom. And then you can also build that line of communication with the teacher and set some type of rules, like y'all come up with a behavior chart that you can use at home and at school. If those behaviors are consistent at both areas, there shouldn't be an issue. And I would focus on like seeing what the child's issue might be. Sometimes children need to go to a counselor and they need to deal with additional issues. Our new kids are different. Some of them have anxiety. Some of them have stress. Some just have different issues that we may not have had as a child.
Right, right. So different things they're dealing with too and being exposed to.
Yes. And it's always about building that relationship. I mean, you are the parent, but the child has to be able to communicate with you their thoughts, opinions. You have to be able to actively listen to them. Sometimes children are acting out at school because they're not getting enough attention at home.
Yes. So how can people keep connected with you? You give a lot of great advice on social media for parents and teachers, young teachers, on how to make interventions and supports work for them, how to help them organize their classroom, what parents can do to help their children out or strengthen their relationship with the school. How can people stay connected with you?
I'm on LinkedIn at www.linkedin.com/MarvinRPrather-EDS. And it's the same for Facebook as well.
Okay, great. So Marvin, what are your words of advice? What's your daily mantra? What keeps you pushing and going through?
My daily mantra is, when you become complacent, you're not growing.
That's deep.
I think I should say something else, Kimmy. I don't like that one. I don't like that one. I don't like it. Hold on. Let me think about it. I don't like it. Oh, God. But that is the truth, though. When you're complacent, you're not growing.
You're complacent, you're not growing. That's a whole nother episode. So we'll be back on the Early Accountability Podcast next time to talk about if you're complacent, you're not growing. Until next time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.